Welcome back, Steve.
Hello
there. It's good to see you.
We're back in person again.
Yep. It's how we roll. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm here.
We're back in the same room. We did the international episode last
week. It's
never
good. It just reminds me of the old days of Skype.
Yeah.
It really, really
does.
Was
my connection not good? Or we did a local recording though, didn't we? With Riverside.
Yeah, it comes out okay.
Did you like the photo I shared, the thumbnail?
That was horrible.
I did not
consent to Stephen screenshotting recording.
Excuse me. I didn't. Riverside provided those. They were on there. Here are some photos to share. Riverside did it. I never did that.
You didn't have to download them.
Well, I thought it'd be a nice thumbnail.
Yeah. See, the problem is you looked horrible on mine and I looked horrible on yours because they were – it's the local version of me and I'm the other – it should have – Here's what I'm upset about. It should have – because this is really deep in the weeds inside baseball, but when we record remotely – it's a software called Riverside, and it records my voice on my computer and uploads it to the cloud, and it records and so they get put together as local recording, so the sound quality is good.
So if you've got a crappy internet connection like I probably had.
Yeah, because when I'm hearing Stephen live while we're recording, sounded horrible, looked horrible. I mean.
So in person, what are you saying, mate? It's all
actually,
massive
it looked like this.
Come
no.
On,
looked like
don't
this.
Hurt my feelings.
Looked like this, but with a Minority Report. You know, face thing.
What?
What's it called? No, yeah, Minority Report. Yeah, you know,
the face distorter.
I can't believe I didn't get credit for a movie reference.
Not bad. Yeah.
That's what you look like
and
on a poor quality
that's
internet.
That's our movie this week, by the way.
There you go. What
Minority
a plug.
Report.
What
Boom.
A plug, folks.
Boom. He's always on message, our man.
Anyway, my point was that it should have sent you a picture of me from my computer. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
But yeah, the quality looked okay.
I didn't approve of it.
It only had so much to work with, mate. What
my
do you
agent
do?
Called me and said, how did this happen?
Yeah, right.
And I said, call Stephen's people. They said, there's no people.
Because the one I shared on I took a shot. No, I took a shot that I shared. The one I shared on Instagram, the one where one on top of the other, that was a screenshot. I did screenshot that. So the one on
what a revelation!
Well, I just thought I wanted to just publicise the show, and I thought, well, that looked okay, it looked reasonable. You got it all angles, mate.
You have a much lower bar than me.
Oh, come on! Well, you looked all right. I looked okay. I thought, you know, I don't think you even. I took a shot with my glasses on. I still have my glasses on.
Well, we do wear glasses,
I know that. People who watch this show, not just hear the show, can see that I put on my specs and you
I feel
do
like
too.
I need to bring different things for the shelf every week.
Yeah.
I need to mix it up.
Is that right?
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be mixed up, don't you reckon? You got enough crap that you could bring something different every week and rotate?
I could bring something new every week for the next 5 years, mate, I reckon.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of stuff.
Would you ever
stuff,
bring a 12 back and sit it there?
Yeah, if you want.
They're in a case, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in a Perspex
case. Do I need
to
up my public liability insurance?
You do, yeah. You have to, your house and contents, please. Yeah, cover them specifically. Yeah. Maybe. I'll consider that.
He's like, I'll bring the XYZ lightsaber, but you'll need to send me proof of your insurance.
Yeah, and no, there'll have to be a waiver. Any damage and compensation. Yeah. But that'd be an idea. I'm happy to bring a lightsaber or a 12, what Trevor refers to, the 12 back. Is the Star Wars when
why
they
twelve?
Because the first release was 12. There were 12 figures. So in early 1978 was when they actually came out. Christmas 1977 is when they made the promise of the figures. So you could buy what they called the early bird package. So you bought basically an empty box with the promise that the figures were going to arrive soon.
Are those
after.
Empty boxes worth anything?
They're worth a ton. Yeah, the early bird packs, but the first 12 figures were what they call now as the 12 backs. And
right.
I've got the original 12 figures that have been graded. They're in little Perspex cases. And yeah, they're quite valuable as we approach the 50th anniversary of Star Wars in 2027. That'll be the 50th anniversary. And
mate, put it all up for sale.
Stay tuned.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to. So I'm saying stay tuned. The 50th is going to be massive. Lucasfilm's going to have. It's going to be pretty big. I reckon the 50th celebration of the original Star Wars is going to be huge. But that's still
a bunch of old men with walking sticks talking about how they loved the kids'
still
movies.
3 years away. Well, I was 9 years old when I saw it, so you
and
do the
still
math,
haven't
okay?
let go.
Do the math. Yeah. Still, of course not. Of course, I won't let go. It's part of my childhood, mate. I don't have to go into why I love Star Wars. You know why? It's just cool.
It's a rubbish movie. Cars. It's a better movie.
Come on. The classic quote, was it? Cars is better than Star Wars. Or did you say Cars 3 better than Star Wars?
I think I said Cars movie is better than Star Wars.
Massive quote. Yeah. And you stand by that, no doubt, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I've closed the rating sheet, but I'm pretty sure I ranked.
We did Star Wars and we did Cars, which you hosted. Did you give that an 11 or what did you do?
I don't know. I now need to know. Sorry, we're not getting on with the show until I bring back the tab. You know when you bring back tabs you closed?
Yes.
It's taking forever.
While Trevor's searching, people are saying which 12 figures, Stephen, were released in Star
Wars. Oh, God, I found it already. I gave Star Wars a 9.
What?
What?
Were you on drugs?
How did that happen? Jeez, I hope I gave...
That was a 10 for me.
It's all right. I gave Cars a 10. Everyone relax.
So in your mind,
you gave
Cars
an 8.5. That is unbelievable.
I reckon that's generous. Yeah, that's generous. Yeah.
Best movies you've never seen.
Yeah.
And
one of our super fans has created a website that tracks every movie
the
one we rated.
The best movies never seen. One word. TheBestMoviesNeverSeen.blogspot.com. It's a spreadsheet.
Boom.
And it shows you the average IMDb score of our movies over the last, how many have we done?
129,
We've published 130.
Okay.
The average IMDb score, 7.62.
Right.
The average Stephen Fennec score?
8.85. Yeah, close.
What do you think the average Trevor Long score is?
8.22. There you go. Not far off.
They're good movies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Someone's going to that much trouble. That's good. Good on him.
We appreciate it.
TARDIS. Isn't it Michael?
I think it is, yes. Yeah. Sorry. That's rude.
Good on you, Michael.
Michael, send us an email.
Yeah.
I'll send you some new merch. I think it's been too long since
EFGM
we've
merch,
rewarded you.
Sell it on eBay for like a dollar.
You know what else I've got? I've got a bunch of voucher cards for streaming. I'll send them to you. All right?
If he loves movies. I think he contacted us about Black Rain not being on a streaming service.
Yeah.
And my reply on Twitter was, mate, you just rent it on Fetch, was my reply.
Black Rain. Oh, that's right. That was
great. That was last week's movie.
It is available to rent or buy on Fetch.
I love the line in that movie, one of my favourites. I use that to this day. That came out in 1989.
Which line?
I'd love to, he can't find his ass with two hands. Oh, right. That's a favourite line of mine.
That's a lovely thing to say. It really is. All right. Well, The Best Movies You've Ever Seen comes out on Saturday in this feed, Friday, if you subscribe to it specifically, and Minority Report is this week's movie.
Starring Tom Cruise and directed by Steven Spielberg.
I've realised? About 2 hours is the limit of my memory because I was so close to forgetting that.
We just recorded that. Son of a Woman, directed by?
Couldn't tell you.
That's next week's movie, which we haven't recorded yet, or have we recorded
that?
Yeah,
we have.
We don't know. Son of a Woman, directed by Martin Brest.
I would never have
starring
gotten that. Al Pacino. Correct. I had a second Christmas.
Yeah. So there you got a bit of a preview of the next couple of movies on the feed.
I don't even know what's after that. So, oh no, I do.
Yeah, you do.
I do. All right. Good luck. It's time for this.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
That's right, a really handy device, folks. Episode 623. Thanks to Netgear and Arlo, proud sponsors of Two Blokes Talking Tech. Netgear for all your networking needs. Wi-Fi routers, mesh routers through Orbi, and Arlo for all your home security needs, from doorbells to floodlights to cameras all around your home, inside your home, wherever you want them. We've got you covered, and we'll tell you more about them shortly. Now, Stephen, the NBN had some news this week. It's kind of a weird one to explain because there is actually nothing to announce. There's no change for you, dear listener.
But at the moment.
It was like, so here's what's happened over the last 10 years. The telcos have controlled the narrative. Whenever the telcos are in some sort of backroom negotiations with the NBN over wholesale pricing or speed changes or whatever, the telcos come out and they weed their opinion to a couple of journos and they kind of leak it, or they control the narrative. Well, the NBN went, you know what? We got an idea. We got an idea for changing the internet speeds in Australia, and we're going to tell the media first.
Yeah.
Mate, let me tell you.
Let's consult with the retailers later.
Let me tell you, they didn't tell the telcos until after I'd been on the Today Show. So there's a few telcos pretty peed
surprised
off right now.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Cars.
Gomer Pyle, no?
Oh, Gomer Pyle.
Is it Gomer Pyle? Maybe. No anyway, idea. The point no is idea. This. I actually like the strategy, not because I got to break the story, but because I think we should be consumer first. We should be talking consumer first. So the NBN's proposal is to change the higher speed tiers to even higher numbers.
Yep.
Now, the elephant in the room here is that this affects absolutely no one who's on the 25 or 50 meg plans.
Yeah.
Nothing's changing.
You're on those speeds.
And that the reason for that is because these plans are all about utilizing fixed line, like hybrid fiber coaxial, the HFC network, or fiber to the premises.
FTTP.
These plans are all about encouraging people to take up the NBN's offer of fiber to the premises if you want it for free by choosing a higher speed plan.
But so haven't they, what they've done here, we'll talk about the increase, like the speed increase, but also they've lowered the threshold to trigger the fiber to the premises. Am I reading that correctly? So if you go from a lower speed, say from 50 to 100, that would trigger a fiber connection.
Because now that will require a fiber connection to get what will now be 500.
So five times faster.
The big negative here for me is it creates a bigger gap between the haves and have-nots.
Yeah.
The have-nots are the people who cannot get fiber to the premises because they're in a satellite area, a fixed wireless area, or a fiber to the node area that simply is not yet in the plan for fiber to the premises, and I assume that's because of complexity of upgrade.
Yep.
So there's... It's harder just to park that, but we kind of do need to park that right now because I don't have an answer for you, essentially.
But like, can I ask isn't 100 megabits the sweet spot? Is that what the majority of your average users are on, or is 50 more the going rate?
It's very hard to get numbers, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard to get numbers from people, but I asked all the telcos for comment later in the day.
Yeah.
And they said to me, their comment was, if NBN is genuine about addressing affordability and high-speed access for all Australians, it would extend these benefits to the 70% of NBN customers on its entry-level 12, 25, and 50 megabit plans.
So what they're saying is that why don't they just make the slower plans faster?
Which they can't because the technology simply doesn't exist.
That's the
travesty here. Yeah. Now, I think going against TPG's comment, the point is that there's probably... So if there is 70% of people on 12, 25, and 50, what we need to know is how many of them are able to upgrade to fiber?
Yeah.
Because it's probably 50%. So there's probably a lot of those. If you're on 50 meg now and you haven't made the call to your telco or checked the NBN website to see if you're eligible for the fiber upgrade, then you clearly don't want better speeds. Because
why don't they, say you're on a 50... Why don't they offer you, because the threshold's now 100.
Mm.
So why don't they offer 100 and not put the price up?
I don't,
because they're offering
100 to who?
No, let me finish. The current situation is if you've got 100, they're going to bump you up to 500.
Yes.
Right? So why can't they offer someone who's on 50 to go to 100 because, at the same price and still trigger the fiber upgrade.
At the same price as 50.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point. Because
they're not
point.
Increasing. Well, why should – it's like, you know, why should the 100 customer who's paying, I don't know, $89 a month get five times more speed for nothing, where the poor old 50 might be paying 50 a month? Why can't they enjoy the benefit of something faster at the same price or maybe – minimal increase.
And you're saying that obviously if the technology doesn't allow for it, then you need to get the upgrade.
Yeah, but they'll if they ask for 100, isn't that going to trigger, isn't that now the new threshold to trigger a fiber to the premises installation?
Well, you're telling me that I hadn't read that, but that sounds legit.
Yeah.
Now, the 50...
Didn't you know that?
The 50 plan right now is, let's say, Aussie broadband price is $85 a month.
Yeah.
It's only $10 more to get the 100 speed.
Mm.
So I don't think it's price that's stopping someone getting 100. I think it's accessibility.
Yeah.
I think it's the availability of the speed.
I wrote this off the release from the NBN. I said, I wrote, and this is word for word what I wrote, the NBN also plans to make it easier and cheaper for customers to upgrade to fiber by lowering the minimum speed plan to 100 to 20 megabits per second.
Because that will become the 500 plan.
Now, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
The telcos, the reason I reckon, here's my little theory, the reason why the telcos were left in the dark here, I reckon this is a challenge to 5G. I reckon this is a way to for the NBN to be appealing to a customer maybe considering 5G. Like you think of Telstra, Vodafone, Optus all have 5G plans, right? Mm. They would prefer you to have you as a customer on 5G because they get 100% of that money. That's their network,
yeah. We've
right?
talked about this, yeah.
So Telstra, their speeds on average, you're looking like my brother's got Optus and Telstra, they offer like up to 300 megabits per second on 5G.
Yeah.
So if the NBN can come along and say, guess what? We're going to give you 500 megabits per second at the same price as 100 megabits per second through fiber to your doorstep.
Mm.
You reckon that's going to not be competitive against those 5G offers from the telcos?
Yeah.
I reckon that is the reason why they're doing this.
I've got no doubt. And I'll give you an example. Over there in the corner, I've got an Optus 5G modem.
Yep.
Right? They've got a new modem out. I haven't reviewed it yet,
they asked me for one of that. They said, my area doesn't have 5G. Yeah.
So my house isn't, but the office here is.
Okay.
So this is the speeds I'm getting right now on off the 5G network. 500 down, 76 up.
Boom.
Now I can't, because I'm on a business plan, weirdly, I can't get more than 100/20 here, even though I'm on HFC, which theoretically can get gigabit.
Can't you get it here? Is that right? Because you're not
a home. I just have to switch to a residential plan. It's no big drama.
Right. Okay.
But I look at this and go, so imagine I was technology limited to 50.
Yes.
I would sign up in
straight away.
Heartbeat.
Of course.
To this.
Yeah.
So the fact that, like, if I'm tempted by this 500 download that I'm seeing on this 5G, that's why, you're absolutely right, that's why they're making the 500. So we're going to have plans. Let's be clear. The new idea is 12, doesn't really exist anymore, 25, 50, 500. Huge gap.
Yes.
Huge gap, which is a huge incentive. And then it goes to 750 and then 750 to 1,000, plus all the upload speeds.
They won't still have 100 one, will they? Or will
No.
Okay. So you could. So if you're 50 going to 100, you're getting 10 times faster speed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the NBN say this is going to be offered at no increase at cost to the telcos.
Yeah.
But it should be very clear. That does not mean the prices will not change. Because the telcos need to buy more backhaul. They need to buy more networking equipment. It's costly, right? So I believe there will be an increase. I suspect from my conversations with people in the industry, it will be like dollars, not, it won't go from 95 to 205.
Yeah.
It's going to go, I reckon, like I'm looking at Aussie Broadband, $95 a month for the 100 plan. I reckon it'll go to like 99 for the 500,
I reckon that's reasonable.
But here's the amazing thing, right? Yeah. Let's just, and I'm making this up purely my own guesswork, right? The $99 is going to get me 500. Currently at Aussie Broadband, $119 gets you 250.
Yeah.
Now that's going to become 123 for 750. Yeah, I'm going to go down to pay less and get more. Well, I think that's what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to go from the super fast down to the fast, which is still going to be faster than what they currently have.
Well, I've got Aussie Broadband and it's a gigabit per second.
129.
I'm paying 129.
Yeah.
So nothing to see here. Nothing's going to change.
Well, it will because there's an increase in the upload speed. So there may be a slight change.
Oh, so why won't get faster download, get faster upload?
Yes, because the upload speed for the ultra fast goes from, it says 1,000, but it's actually 750 to 1,000.
Yeah.
And then the upload goes from just 50, it goes from 50 to 100 as a range. So not always 100, it'll be variable.
Wow. It's really, and they're saying this is, it's going to go out to the telcos for discussion.
It's out there now. They've got until mid-April to talk about.
But didn't they say it's not going to happen within the next 12 months?
Mm.
So, but the telcos could agree to it sooner.
They could.
I
understand then. One of the frustrations the telcos most likely have behind closed doors is that they literally 2 months ago completed the previous access deal.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, we've just planned for the next three years of infrastructure and now you want us to start again?
Yeah.
So I think there'll be some frustration, there'll be some planning.
Government asset. Hello. That's how it works. it's a government property.
How much do you think the government's got to do with it?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that question. But the thinking behind it is to address our use of data and smart devices, and to keep lockstep with how we're progressing. And there were some stats there. They
said the stat, yeah, 10 years ago,
times more data
10 years ago, we were using 40 gigabytes of data a month. Now we're using 440. 10 years ago, there was no Netflix, Stan, Binge and KO.
Correct. So on average, it says here, we're consuming 443 gigabytes per month with an average of 22 connected devices. 10 years ago, it was 40 gig of monthly data with 7 internet-connected products. So that's quite a jump. But they're saying connected devices is expected to grow to 33% per household by 2026 and up to 40 devices by the end of the decade.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
So, and this is, I think that's what we've got to understand. This is a vision for the next bit. Now, there are, by the end of 2025, there'll be 10 million homes, which is more than 90% of all premises, that'll be able to access these plans.
Right.
Now, I know that means that leaves 10% of people without it, right?
Yeah.
Now, my hope is that a lot of the people, I saw a lot of comments that were, but I can't get the upgrade. Yeah, like people, our audience has asked. They've asked whether I can get the upgrade.
Yeah. Look on the website.
Now, obviously they haven't fully released every address that's ever going to be in the upgrade list, but I just hope that by the end of 2025, they have gotten as deep into the FTTN network as they can with that availability of their fibre upgrade.
That's a lot of these customers that can't go straight away because they're in the fibre to the node.
They're literally getting 25 to 50 but at best.
Didn't the NBN's massive fibre expansion program address those particular areas?
No, not all of them.
Yeah, right. But a lot were.
No, but that's the problem. There's 4 million homes on the fibre to the node network.
Still.
It's still... that's the network.
That was the network, yeah, right.
And there's only like 2.5 million of them that have been offered fibre.
Right.
So there's still a couple of million homes, I believe, that haven't even, they're not even on the list to get fibre if they want it.
Yeah.
So that's the gap they've got to fill. And I don't believe it'll ever be every home because there's always going to be some complexities. But look, I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how you answer that because I do worry about that gap. And I think the great thing is we've got to realise that NBN satellite service will be, I think it'll be phased out because satellites... Yeah. Finish. Satellites die. Satellites come crashing down, right?
There's competition.
Well, that's what I'm going to get at. Yeah. Satellites end. So there'll be an end-of-life process with SkyMaster, which I think we'll see them essentially say to people, call Telstra and get Starlink, you know, because Telstra's going to sell Starlink. That'll be the easiest way to do it, right? Yeah. So Starlink will take over the NBN satellite customer, which will raise that average speed quite extensively.
Yeah.
Fixed wireless is still a big chunk, and they are working to upgrade those speeds as best they can. I think they'll probably end up getting those to 100. And I was talking to – I'll give credit to Graham Lynch from Comms Day here. He and I were chatting about this, and he did some rough numbers, right? Remember all the debate about, you know, Australia's behind Kazakhstan or wherever in the global speed rankings, right? He said if we're at 95 or whatever it is now, he did some numbers that suggested that if just the hundreds – the people on 100 being converted overnight to 500 would lift the average to such an extent that we'd be in the 30s.
Wow.
Overnight.
Top 30 of speeds. Yeah, right. You've got to remember, though, like I do see those charts, and what people don't take into account is that the countries above us in speed, much smaller countries. Yeah. They're like Korea is much smaller than Australia.
Yeah.
A lot of these smaller countries, it's easy to
get that. They're denser populations. There's a whole range of reasons.
It's a lot easier.
It's a stupid measure, and I've said it since the start of the debate.
Good stats, though. I like the stats.
Great stats, but a really stupid measure of success.
Yeah.
And you know what I think it is? I think it's like, and this is foreshadowing to next week's electric vehicles podcast, but, you know, governments who that they fund something like our charging network just to fill a gap without thinking about how good the filling is.
Yeah.
I worry that they're just doing something to lift that without worrying about whether it actually addresses the problem.
Yeah, so incremental rather than significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's great news from the NBN. I hope the telcos buy into it. All the comments from the telcos, which I published in like quote verbatim on EFTM.com, were broadly positive but hopeful that there would be an open discussion about it. None of them really said that they were going to charge more, but that you know, I read between the lines on everything that, you know, there's don't think it's going to be for nothing. But I genuinely think the sweet spot will become what is now 100, and there'll be people come down to that because it'll be great speed at great price.
So, like someone say, someone's on 250 now.
Yeah. Right. Then they're currently paying 120.
You're going to go down.
Yeah.
To go up.
I'd spend $10 less.
Yeah.
To get a bigger speed.
You're going to get twice the speed.
Yeah.
Mate. It's like bracket creep, isn't it? It's like we're looking at the different little brackets we're in. But look, like, bring it on, mate. Bring it on. But don't you reckon it's gonna? I reckon it's gonna bat down a few 5G considerations from customers thinking, you know what, I'm getting this much speed on. If I'm getting on 5G, let's go there.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be – it's going to make that more competitive because, look, for years I've been saying as 5G and eventually one day 6G progresses and deploys, it's a real challenge to the NBN. It's going to make it look – well, look, you're getting 500 megabits per second.
640 now.
There you go, 640 on 5G, and those plans are probably $99. What are they, $120?
I think
bucks?
They're less, yeah.
So if the NBN can't compete with that – guess where customers are going to go? They're going to go to 5G. And good luck to them. The market's there. That's their network.
Yeah.
But this is, I reckon, NBN's response to that, to say, right, here's our response.
And I will continue to say that 5G is a great thing for basic connectivity. I've got no dramas with it. But, and I'll give you this experience right now, I'm now getting 20 meg uploads.
Right.
Now, 5 minutes ago, I got 60.
Right.
The variability in 5G is far greater. So if you look at a, you know, like an ECG, you know, that's 5G, right?
Yep.
Whereas the NBN is not a flat line of death, constant, but it's broadly constant. Obviously, there are dips in your speed at prime time and things like that.
Yeah.
But you will get a general level of strong consistency. Like I know that if I'm on 100/20 plan here or 1,000/40 at home, I'm going to get at home between 600 and 900 down easy all the time.
Yep.
And I'm always going to get 30 to 35 up. Like, it's just a guarantee.
Yep.
And here at the office, I'm pretty much guaranteed 90 to 20 up because it's fixed line and that's what it is. Whereas the variability in 5G, it looks amazing when you see the big numbers, but when you realize the variability that exists, you do start to wonder whether or not the overload and the usage, you know, can cause you problems at
Obviously,
some time.
The appeal of 5G is that they send you a modem, you put a SIM card in it, plug it in, and it's working.
100%.
That's the big appeal.
Yeah.
But as you said, the variability and all those things, and you might not be in an area that maybe can get – you might imagine you're in a fibre-to-the-node section of the NBN.
Yes.
No hope of getting fibre.
I would ditch the NBN today.
5G. Yeah. Like, if the telcos are smart, they should fill those gaps there. Yeah, yeah. Go there.
The smartest thing to
– make 5G there.
Yeah, they should have a map that shows
fiber to the node areas.
Fiber to the premises upgrade areas and the have nots. So the haves and the have nots
Simple.
Are
yeah.
can I have fiber, can I have gigabit?
Yeah.
And can I not? And where, and where there's 5G. Not, put towers.
Look, the two blokes are open for consultation if you
honestly,
need this, okay?
We are
we can do it.
Highly available. And our fees are astronomical
solid,
but negotiable.
Yeah. We can sharpen the pencil if you want to.
And I'll get the eraser out, take a couple of zeros off, and baby, we're in action.
Take them off. Put them on.
No, I'm happy to negotiate.
Okay.
I'm starting with a lot of zeros.
Call me.
Starting with a lot of zeros.
Start with a lot of zeros.
You start with a lot of zeros and work our way down.
Okay. I thought you start with zeros. Zeros is zero.
Start
with
a lot of zeros.
At the end of the number.
Yes.
Not the start of the number.
Well, we're not starting with $1, are we?
No. Definitely not.
We're not starting with a single-digit number.
Definitely not.
Hello,
the two blokes
seven
get
digits.
Out of bed for less than a lot of money.
My number's pretty high. I've slept in a bit lately.
Yeah. Really?
No, I've been up bright and early.
I've been wide awake myself. Yeah, I've been up early myself.
I was up at 2 o'clock this morning and Facebook went down.
What?
It was perfect timing. It was brilliant.
Right. Oh, that's right, the Meta.
So
let's talk about that. How long was it down for?
Five minutes? 3 hours. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was up by 4:30.
Global?
Global. Peak time
so
in the US, middle of the day in the US. Yeah,
a lot of influencers would have been very nervous.
Here's the thing. Like, I did Triple M at like 3 a.m. and then, again, they replayed it all morning.
Yeah.
And the problem is a lot of the brekkie shows, love you guys, but they listen to that. They listen to Luke overnight and they hear it and they go, well, we'll get Trevor on about that.
Yeah.
But by 7 a.m.,
yeah,
what do you want
fixed.
Me to say?
It's fixed.
Yeah. It's fixed. It went down.
It was down.
It was down while you were asleep. Who cares?
Yeah, but the fact it was peak in the US.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking
also, the fact that it
Meta.
Happened.
So it's Meta. So it's Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp.
Facebook. No, WhatsApp was not down.
So Facebook and
anything
Instagram.
That needs a login. I reckon it was an authentication issue.
So it's Facebook and Instagram.
And Threads.
Whoa. There would have been a lot of panicked influencers out there, don't
well,
you reckon?
Well, here's the funny thing. The head of comms for Facebook went to Twitter. And
well,
Elon Musk.
Excuse me. X.
I refuse X. to call it X.
That's like Optus to using a Telstra SIM card to tell them about the outage.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that
and
what
Elon had a field day.
I
just
bet he
tweeting,
did.
Oh,
I
we're fine over here and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Really?
It was pretty wild.
Wow.
Anyway, Facebook went down. Does anyone care?
Facebook went down.
Not really. Not really.
Mate, I was asleep. Didn't I heard about it, but yeah. But the peak time in the US, that's major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a good
panic
look.
Buttons were
it's
hit,
not a good look hit. For a company to yeah. have that kind of outage. That's yeah. the real problem.
What did you say was the problem?
I think it's an authentication issue because still it's only know? Their service. Well, they're never going to tell us.
Yeah.
Why would they tell us?
Yeah. Wow.
Like if you forgot to pay a bill for your domain name and it was down for a day and you put it back up again, you'd be like, oh, we had a server issue. I'm not going to say I had a bill that I didn't pay.
Where did that happen?
I'm just making, you know, trying to find an analogy.
Did that happen with a big company? Was it
Disney? Pauline Hanson did it once.
Was it Disney Plus?
Maybe, yeah.
Was it Disney? I remember, was it Disney? It was a major thing.
It's happened
like Club Penguin or something like that, one of those sites?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. I've just got mine on the automatically.
Yeah, same.
Automatically pay the bill, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I've got so many domain names. Because I used to sell domain names, right?
I love Trevor Long.com. Is that yours?
I used to sell domain names. And so there's still a few that I have from previous clients.
And what are they worth, mate?
No, they're just their domain names. Ah. They're emails and their websites or whatever.
You weren't smart enough to buy mcdonalds.com.au back in 1990.
You know what I had at one point? I had rugby-league.com.
What?
And I was monitoring rugbyleague.com because it was due for renewal at some point.
Ah.
And then I missed it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have a discussion with you on live on the show here.
Oh, wow.
How can I go about, because techguide.com exists, but it's a blank, it's like a referral site. You don't go to a site. It just sort of takes you somewhere else.
Yep.
I'm trying to work out how to obtain that.
Right.
And I think the owners are a pretty big company, and I'd say it'd be an expensive exercise to wrest it from their clutches.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, who's the owner? I mean, everyone's going to be Googling it now.
CBS, I think it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, CBS Interactive, I think. Yeah.
That's not
Are you going to whereis.com?
Yeah, I was going to look
who
up
is,
whois.
Whois.com? Yeah. So .com.au is mine.
Right.
But .com is, I think it's pretty much CBS Interactive. But it's a what do they call that when it's just, it redirects? It's a redirection.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. Registrars, Mark, Monitor. Yes, CBS Interactive.
Yeah, so yeah.
Oh, you're screwed. What do you do? But there is a contact form there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a contact form. But what I would do is
If I come into some money, I might get it.
I would.
What do you reckon that would cost
me to get? Sell some 12 bucks. I would use like GoDaddy. They have like escrow services and.
What? Escrow. So when it comes, so they can make a bid to the owner.
Yeah. Often they can. We might be able to help you achieve this. See how it's done. So. They can you click on it and they'll assign a domain manager. They'll take care of the negotiation, all that kind of stuff. Oh. Yeah, use GoDaddy.
GoDaddy, okay.
Yeah.
GoDaddy.
What do I think it's worth? It's a tough one because
do anything. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I know, but forget it, mate. It's what the words mean. What's it worth? Right.
It's worth big money, mate. .com.au is worth big money.
Because anyone can create. A website called Tech Guide. There's nothing stopping them.
Yeah, but
nothing
the,
at all.
The actual address, though, is what you
I
want.
I understand.
Huh?
Yeah. But so
well, there is CBS something stopping them. It'd be me stopping them.
How are you going to stop them?
I don't know.
Exactly.
You'd put something. I'd send them a cease and desist letter,
and they'll be like, "Yeah, good luck, mate. You've got no jurisdiction here."
Okay.
So for that
don't
reason,
don't give anyone any ideas, mate.
That for that reason, it's valuable.
Mm.
Here's my question to you.
Ballpark.
They said to you, "What's your number? What's your number?"
Yeah. What you mean? Do you want me, to tell you, want me to tell you the
give number?
Me number?
Yeah. And I'll tell you whether you're joking.
20?
Grand?
Hmm.
I reckon you'd go in much lower than that.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
I think they'll want 10 or 20.
Mate, it's CBS Interactive. Do you reckon they're going to give that away?
You never know.
Okay.
But I think you go in at four or five.
So lowball them.
Just that you're very clear. You're not a $200 person, right?
But I'll show them that I'm the owner of techguide.com.au with an established website, blah, blah, blah.
That could be a cautious problem. Do you really want to show your hand? Because that says you've got a vested interest in owning it, as opposed to, I like the look of that domain name.
Doesn't the fact that I'm asking them what they want for it, that I've got a vested interest in owning it?
Yeah, but it becomes more vested because you've got the .com.au.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think I paid for EFTM.com?
15?
Much less.
10.
Much less.
8.
Much less.
2.
Pretty sure it was 5 or less.
Really?
Might have been 5. EFTM.com.
But who owned it before you, though?
Just some you know, some idiot that just registered every four-letter combination in the world.
And so what did you – sorry, what did you say it was?
I'm pretty sure it was maybe five Australian.
Five, yeah. That's what I paid for techguide.com.au in 2010.
Oh, I paid $120 for you,
5K, because someone already owned it.
Oh, right.
Someone owned it already.
Yeah, right.
I had to buy it for my – oh, man, God bless him. He rest in peace, my dad. He bought it for me.
Wow.
He shouted at me. He That's said, awesome. Look, I'm going to buy it for you. It was the day I left News Limited, my last day at News Limited, December 10, 2010. I walked out of the office owning techguide.com.au.
Yeah. We probably should edit this out because someone else will try and negotiate the domain name now. Hey, hey. Mate, seriously, GoDaddy.
GoDaddy.
It's worth $100 just to get them to start the process.
I will do that. Yeah.
This is exciting. We're all in for the ride now, aren't we? Hey, we're all in for the ride. Two Blokes Talking Tech. We're buying domain names.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech is proudly supported by Arlo. And guess what, Trev?
Tell me.
Arlo has surpassed 3 million subscribers on their
I was looking for an applause, but there isn't one. Oh, no.
Oh, let me do it for you.
Yeah,
3 million paid subscriptions. Now, the paid subscription is, it really adds a lot of value to your Arlo camera, but also it really does showcase the increase in demand for home security. And owning a camera is one thing, but Arlo takes it a step further, and by offering a secure plan that starts at a smart plan that starts at $4.95 per month. So for that, you get things like 30 days of 4K recording stored on Arlo's smart cloud platform. You get smart notifications, so can detect a pet, a package, a vehicle, or a person. You also get smart zones. So this is the ability for you to say, look, I don't want to be looking at the street for every car or tree that sways in the breeze. I only want to look at my front yard. That's what comes with having that secure plan as well. Other things, you get also priority care and support on all of your plans as well. So I think well worth considering upgrading yourself. I think you get, is it 3 months? You get free.
Yep.
Whenever you buy any Arlo product, 3 months free. So if you do decide to go to the Arlo Secure, Secure Plus, or Safe and Secure Pro, you get 4K cloud-based video recording on all plans, smart interactive notifications, advanced object detection with AI. So this helps you filter each day through advanced object detection. And you get all those smart activity zones as well. So well worth it. And of course, if you do need support, you get priority because you're a plan subscriber. So if you are looking at an Arlo camera, a doorbell, floodlight, I would encourage you to consider after your 3 month subscription is over to subscribe. It's what 3 million other people have done, and 3 million people can't be wrong.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say. Get on it, Arlo Secure, and well done, Arlo, on Arlo that milestone.
.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Look, I think, give me the pen, I'll tell you what I plan to do with the rundown.
Oh, my God. Pointing, writing, what are you doing, mate?
You talk so much. It's pretty crazy.
We've done, look, this on the fly. On the fly, we're planning this out. How good is that?
It's like our first week. You tune into this rubbish and they're like, this is the first show.
What
are they just talking about domain names? That doesn't do anything. Yeah. Are we just intervening in their personal conversations? Yes.
You are, actually.
You are distracting us now.
We intended this just to be for you and me, eh? Yeah. But we thought, let's just turn some cameras on.
We may as well let some other people listen. The private feed.
We don't get too personal.
Started out being this, you know, imagine if you could hear what we talked about off air, but there's so much stuff we still talk about off air that you could never hear.
It's called value.
Yeah. Anyway, it's called defamation, mainly what we talk about off air.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so.
What Trevor said, not me.
Foxtel Group's new product, Hubble, is out on March the 10th, which is before our next show.
That's Sunday, by the way.
Yep. I thought it was worth addressing here. And the reason I made this point in my article this week on EFTM because, look, we knew we were getting it to review, the box and the TV. I thought, though, we'd get it days before anyone else, because that's the way reviews normally work. You know, the punters get it on the on-sale date.
Yeah.
Anyway, people have been messaging us saying, we've got it. And it's arrived, and I'm thinking, mate, mine's only just arrived.
Sending people pictures of the retail box.
So here's what we've agreed to do right now, which is a first impressions, okay?
Yeah.
Because both of us want to give this the the time that it deserved. This is an important product for Foxtel.
Yep.
I don't want to sound like I'm going off half-cocked about stuff. I want to be as genuine as I can be and correct. I don't want to get things wrong, but you make mistakes in these initial first looks, right?
Yeah.
So,
but also too, like what how I'm approaching it now, you're approaching it, is that I want to put myself in the position of a customer.
Yeah.
I've decided I'm going to buy Hubble. I'm going to unbox it, set it up. That's what we're going to share today.
That's right.
That first out of the box experience.
But to be clear, I've had it out of the box for like 36 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
I've had a little muck around.
Yeah. But it arrived when I was coming back from Vegas.
But I have views. Yeah. Oh yeah, I have views. Yeah. So look, it's as we saw at our hands-on preview, it's a beautiful tiny little thing. It is sleek, small,
really small, about the very size well of a done. CD, about the size of a CD case.
On the back there is just power, HDMI, Ethernet, and antenna.
Antenna. Yeah.
Okay. Now that differs to the UK, US. Zumo and Sky Glass or Sky Hubble, Sky, whatever they call it over there, because they don't have antennas there. So this is a big deal for Australia to have the antenna. But I also want to address this from the point of view of someone who does not have an antenna, because I do believe that is its best audience.
Yeah.
Its best audience, because a lot of people saying to me in the comments, I've got a Fetch, I've got an Apple TV, I've got a Google, this is stupid, what
is
do you need
better,
one of these for,
the
right?
Same. Yeah, yeah, true.
And my answer to that is, the game changer deal breaker that I've witnessed with Foxtel here is free-to-air television.
Yeah.
And the others will respond. I've got no doubt we'll hear from Fetch about how they're going to respond to this. But the fact that I don't have an antenna in this office, right?
Right.
So the fact that I can plug it in, connect it to Wi-Fi.
I can see it from here.
And on the Samsung TV that it's connected to, I can watch the Today Show in the morning.
Of course.
Which I've not been able to do without using the 9Now app.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about that for a second. And I've got this at home where at night, if I want to watch the 6 p.m. news, turn on the TV, scroll across to 9Now.
Yeah.
Enter.
Or 7 Plus.
Why would you do that? Down, go to live TV, enter, right? Yeah. So I've clicked many times, right?
Button presses,
now I'm watching live TV.
Yeah.
With Hubble, I go TV. Is there a TV guide button?
Yeah, TV guide.
Or I can just ask it with voice, channel 9. Yeah. Or channel 109, because they're using Foxtel channel numbering.
Yes, they are.
By the way.
Yes, they are.
And it just launches the live stream. Now, when I go, it actually goes.
Right. It's a couple of seconds.
There's a delay.
That's most definitely an appeal. I think, too, appealing to renters.
Yeah.
So say that their apartment doesn't have an antenna or something, right? They're thinking they're trying to get around it by watching free-to-air.
They're in a room without an antenna.
Through the apps and stuff. This really does streamline it. Yeah, there are limitations to it, which we've discussed in the past, but I think for the majority of users, it's sufficient to give them their free-to-air experience. If they want to watch the news, if they want to watch some sport, that's on free-to-air.
If you scroll down through the channels, it works just like a normal channel change. You press down twice, it goes to channel 7 from channel 9.
Yep.
And there is that delay. It's not like switching TV. Frankly, Fetch does it really well with their IPTV channels. They're like instant.
Yep.
And obviously, antenna broadcast TV is unbelievably instant.
So if you've
got
an antenna, then
it's better.
No dramas.
Yeah. Now, I chose, when I set mine up, to give it a postcode of 2680, which is Griffith in New South Wales.
Ooh.
Because I wanted to see it from the regional New South Wales or regional Australian
perspective. That's a little thing. So say I wrote in my story, imagine if you're living in Sydney and you're maybe an AFL supporter or a Brisbane supporter of one of their teams, what's to stop you putting in a Brisbane postcode?
Nothing. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. So as a Griffith user, I see channel 109, channel 9, channel 7. I also scroll down, I can see 7, mate, blah, blah, blah. And it says 7, mate, Sydney, 7... whatever they are, Sydney. And then I scroll down to 9 Griffith or 9 HD Wagga and 7 Griffith and 10 Griffith, the Griffith channels.
Yeah.
No broadcast available.
Oh.
Because there's no regional streams of those channels in any app.
So what are you getting? The state stream?
You get
in some cases, just the national stream.
Well, this I don't, because my next challenge is I'm going to change it to Melbourne.
Ooh.
And see what you get on Channel 7, because I have I believe it's possible that you're getting a national stream. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I don't
want to go off early. But too, and SBS too,
we'll
national
stream. SBS, I'm pretty sure, is definitely national, right? And so then I want to set it to Perth and see whether there's a time delay, because, you know, in Perth, you want the news at 6 from Perth, not...
Not 3 hours later. Or three hours earlier.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you get the news. So these are the little things I want to test, right?
And so should it be that easy to change, though? Should it be that easy
well, no,
to do that?
I don't have a problem with changing that. That's fine. But what I want is for someone in Perth who puts a Perth postcode to get Perth television.
Of course, yeah.
Someone in Melbourne to get Melbourne television.
But isn't that...
So I don't believe they're going to.
Channel 9 is a West Australian,
yeah.
South Australia,
yeah.
Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria.
But again, I don't... Look, it's what I'm saying is it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And there are programs, let's be clear, and you mentioned the AFL. The AFL ain't going to be there.
Yeah, not this year. 2024,
Channel 7 doesn't have the broadcast
digital rights. Yeah.
So if you're expecting to buy Hubble and sit it in your man cave where you don't have an antenna and watch the footy, yeah, not going to happen because Channel 7 doesn't have the AFL rights.
But they'll happily offer you, they'll upsell you, would you like fries with that, which is KO Sport, they'll say to you. So let's go.
Now, I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy here, right? But I'll give you the other thing that it's not bad. It just disappoints me.
What's that?
Remembering, and this is where I come from, the quotes were, this is a game changer, this is a revolution, and all that kind of stuff, right? So the big thing here is bringing together all the streaming services into one platform and displaying content, not just apps, right?
Yes.
So you scroll through the trending stuff, and you're like, oh, there's something cool on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Click. I've obviously got all the services, right? But the box doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Click, I want to watch it. Oh, okay, the free trial. Click free trial, log in Amazon. Oh, click, and then it comes up with a QR code. I've got to go to the Amazon website, sign up, and do all that stuff.
Because right. You know what?
Hang on a minute.
Shouldn't it be that
I just click a button and it goes, "Do you want to add this to your Hubble account?" Yes, done.
Yeah,
right. That's how it should be.
Interesting you say with the QR code because I with Netflix.
No, but that's just a Netflix is a
they don't have
crap
QR,
company
the QR code
that on all devices don't have QR codes. Yeah. I have
like
seen
a
them
TV,
on some.
On a TV it does, like a smart TV.
I think on Fetch they
like
do too.
I've set up.
But you, just can we rewind? You're talking about an existing account,
right?
Remember, this is about
a brand new
this
customer.
Is about people who maybe they have Netflix,
right?
And they want to watch free to air TV. Now they've got Hubble, but now Hubble's showing them all this cool stuff.
Yeah,
Disney Plus. Now, so Amazon Prime that I just mentioned, that example, Amazon's not part of the Hubble One billing process, so you can't add Amazon to your bill.
Neither's Apple TV.
So,
and others,
let's exclude that for a minute and go. Yeah. Okay, Disney Plus is part of the Hubble One
stack
bill
and save.
stack and save thing, right? So I don't have any login to Disney Plus right now. I see a cool ad for The Old Man or whatever it's called.
Yeah, good
Unbelievable
show.
Unbelievable show.
Who suggested that to you?
Oh, mate. Oh, The Old Man suggested it.
good one.
So I'm on Hubble.
Well, you want to watch The Mandalorian or something?
I'm on Hubble. I've got my free-to-air set up and I'm logged into my Netflix.
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to watch The Old Man. I click it.
It's Disney Plus, actually, yeah.
What?
Disney Plus, you said Netflix. Yeah, Old Man's on Disney Plus.
Stop.
Right.
You've got to listen, Steve.
Okay.
I've got Hubble, the box. I have the free-to-air set up, and I have a Netflix login. Done.
Right. Yep.
I see the tile for The Old Man, and I go, I want to watch it. Click it. It doesn't come up and say, hey, you don't have Disney Plus. Do you want to add it to your account? Yeah. Yes or no, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes up and goes, log in, create account.
Yeah.
I'm going to create a whole bloody account.
So you reckon Hubble should have a more of an onboarding process?
If they
want to stack and save, they need to make it a bit easier.
They've got to bring the user interface.
Yeah, right.
Because what you can do is you can, on the home screen, scroll all the way down the bottom, go to settings and my account, and you can go to manage subscriptions, and you can add Disney Plus.
Yes.
Okay, so you can just tick a box and add it.
Because I did that with KO, I did that with...
And then it takes you through the onboarding process.
Right.
What I'm saying is...
So you're saying not on the device, but on the site you could do that or not?
Well, you can do it on the site, but you can do it on the device as well, down the bottom.
Okay.
Don't you think, though, it's a point of friction to make people do all this stuff?
I agree.
When it should be just about going, hey, you want to watch that?
Yeah.
Fine, we'll charge you for it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like, that's what
it should be. They should do the heavy lifting for that for sure. They should make it easier.
Especially where they have the commercial relationships to have the one billing.
And the stack and save. Absolutely right. No, I do agree. And you know what? You've got to remember... this is, you know, it's early days.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to get
a lot of feedback. I actually think they've launched too early.
Okay. Because I was actually, I'll tell you, I was sitting next to Patrick Delaney.
Yeah, on the plane.
Coincidence. I was flying back from Vegas to LA before my flight back to Sydney. And I'm sitting there and next to me pops Patrick Delaney, the boss of Foxtel and boss of Hubble. And on the plane, he said to me, he looked at his watch, he goes, I just told him to put Hubble live. I went, oh. And because there were the boxes arriving. But what I mentioned to you before, he says, look, it's early days. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
He said it's going to get way better. And it's going to evolve. And this could be what we're talking about right now.
It has to be.
This feedback could very well lead to that evolution and make it better. Better experience for all. So our hard work could mean it make it easier for you guys.
Yeah, but don't you do this hard work before you launch? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that there was a bit of urgency. They wanted, mate, I'll tell you right now why, okay? They wanted to be out by the footy season.
Yeah.
Footy season, AFL season, NRL season, Formula One started. They wanted to be done by then. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That was, I think, the ticking clock for them. And it just so happens that they had the NRL doubleheader. And a day after that is when they pulled the trigger, because the rest of round one of the NRL is going to be this week.
Yeah.
And AFL is a week later. So I think that was the reason they decided, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, mate. I just, look, I'm really trying not to be negative about it. I'm just trying to point out what I've seen in the first day that I wanted to be super impressed by. I wanted to be blown away by that. I wanted to think that if my mum turns up in a place that there's no antenna, I can just say, I'll get you a Hubble and we'll sort it out.
Yeah, but I still think, I'll use my own mother as the example, she wouldn't be able to set this up herself.
No.
I would
want to set it up for her, okay? I've got no dramas with that.
But I mean, it's not as simple as, it's not just an out of box. You've got to type in codes and type in, scan QR codes, and there's a lot of things to do.
Yeah. And again, sorry if you work at Hubble and you're thinking, we're doing all that. It's in the roadmap. We don't know that, right?
Yeah.
But here's what it should be. It's like you order it and then it's like, log into this website and set everything up. Yeah. Let's link your Stan. Let's link your Netflix. Let's link it all up so that it's done. And when they get the box, you log into your Hubble account and it's just done.
Do you remember what?
You with me?
Yeah, I agree. I'll give you an example of how they could do it. Do you remember when Apple introduced the hide my email?
Yeah.
Remember how they can sort of send an email, represent you. You don't have to share your own email. You just represent it. So couldn't they sort of take that kind of approach and say, right, well, we've got your – we know your username. Well, you've got your email address. We'll use that as your – and I reckon all of my accounts, the same email address I used for for Hubble.
I've got the same username and password for all my streaming accounts.
Well, I don't. I've got different passwords, but the same username. So don't you reckon that's step one in maybe making it, okay, well, here's your username. Boom.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that.
Is this your username for Netflix? Yes. Yes. Okay, bang. That's one step out of the way, at least. You know?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just onboard it so that we're setting it all up. And
I probably look, the guys at Hubble are probably thinking, these idiots are thinking what they're talking about is so hard to do. We don't know. But the suggestion is,
and look,
I know the saying is, to make something simple is really hard.
Yeah.
And this is, I reckon, case in point.
I've got no doubt. Yeah. Because you've got to remember, to do this, what they're talking about, what they've already done is phenomenal, because they've been able to introduce Disney and Netflix into their billing system. That's big.
Yeah.
Optus SubHub have already done that.
Yeah.
But you'll realize Optus has... Hubble doesn't have any more than Optus. In fact, Optus has got way more, but broadly, they haven't got any big advantage over them, right? Because these companies like Stan and Paramount and Amazon, they don't want to give up their billing.
Yeah, of course not.
They don't want to give up their billing.
Neither do Apple. Yeah.
But I think, I truly firmly believe that we'll get to a point within a couple of years where they all have to, really. They have to make it easier because I'll tell you the best thing about Hubble is when you scroll all the way down the bottom and you go across to your account and you see your subscriptions, there's a list of services and then there's a bill. It shows you on the screen that you're spending $78.
Yeah, okay.
And then you just add another one. It says, are you sure it's going to be $3 more? And then it shows you what you need. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and it even takes into account the discount, the saving.
But I think 99% of people have never seen all their streaming services added up on one page before.
No, I think it's a game changer. No, it is. That's going to be something that, A, is going to make it easier to access all your content in one place, but also, B, being able to see in one page exactly what you're paying for. And also, because of these plans are all month to month.
Yeah.
So you might decide, you know what? I don't want to have KO.
Yeah.
I don't want KO this month.
Yeah.
Let's cancel that. And maybe, the month we cancel KO, let's get Apple TV.
Yeah.
Or get something else.
So the one thing I want you to test, because I've not seen it happen yet, is when you go into My Account and you manage subscriptions, you add Netflix to your account.
Yeah.
To be clear, I understand it works this way. It doesn't charge you for that if you then migrate your account. because it'll only charge you once you've migrated your account. Because what you want to do is you want to migrate your – you've already got a Netflix account, right?
Yeah, no, so you don't
want
to –
I don't want another one.
Yeah,
you're like already, I was reluctant to press it because I'm thinking, I've already got a Netflix account.
Yeah.
So you press it, it tells you what your new costs are going to be, and then you get an email from Hubble saying, confirmed, good. And then there's a note in the email that says, well, you'll get an email from Hubble or Netflix telling you how to migrate your account. I haven't got that yet.
Oh,
it's been 2 days.
Oh, so you're thinking you've got two Netflix accounts.
I don't want two Netflix accounts.
Ooh, okay. Well,
right.
It's a month-to-month thing, I guess.
So but, I think, again, it's a teething thing, but they need to make sure that migrating accounts works. Because I want to bring my – I don't care who I pay the bill to. I'm going to bring my Disney and my Netflix across, right? Because it's there. And when the others are there too. But here's why I can't bring my Netflix across. Because I'm paying for my mother-in-law's Netflix as an extra family member. And even though I asked Les Wiggin and Patrick Delaney this very question, have you got the full suite of Netflix accounts, including people who have extra family members? They go, yep. No, they don't.
No, really?
The
terms
and conditions, so the FAQs. Here's what it says.
Could that cut your mother off then?
It says exactly that. It says if you add your Netflix account and migrate it and you have an extra family member, they will lose access to their account.
Damn. Okay. Well, that could be a deal breaker. That's like, a deal breaker. But so it means that you don't add it to the stack and save.
Yeah,
you can still watch Netflix.
Yeah, but that's the whole purpose is to take advantage.
Understand.
Because, mate, stack and save is only a good thing. Sorry, but it's only a good thing if you can add non-Foxtel services.
Yeah, of course,
Binge and KO, I'll take for granted.
And but Lifestyle and Flash.
I've had to add Flash so that I could get Sky News and the live channel list. Cool, I've done that.
Yeah.
I don't want to add Lifestyle because I don't watch it. And if I add Lifestyle, I'm adding $8 and then I'm saving $5. Mate, it's basically a rort.
Right.
And I will read to you what I received from Foxtel just hours ago when I asked them, to be clear, because I think this is really important. People who see Binge, who, let's say you're a big Binge user. You're watching lots of content.
Yep.
There's a new
Curb
thing.
Your enthusiasm.
There's a new thing called Lifestyle, right?
Yep.
I asked them to clarify what content was leaving Binge to go to Lifestyle.
Ah.
This is what they said. The new Lifestyle app, available to stream on Hubble, will become the home of the biggest range of on-demand lifestyle content in Australia and around the world. Lifestyle is designed to be our most convenient one-stop shop for customers who love lifestyle content and become the new home for popular Australian series like Grand Designs Australia, Selling Houses Australia, Love It or List It Australia, Great Australian Bake Off. As such, these lifestyle shows will not be available on Binge on Demand, along with a small number of other lifestyle shows.
So they've taken off Binge to populate Lifestyle.
However, Binge will continue to offer our customers a vast range of lifestyle content, including the Lifestyle group of channels, including Real Life, along with the biggest and best lineup of drama, true crime, reality, documentaries, etc.
And so Binge is not any cheaper either. It's actually more expensive, isn't it, our Binge?
Hmm. I don't think it's gone up a lot.
But same price?
But if you watch Grand Designs Australia and Selling Houses Australia...
Yeah.
And you convince your missus to ditch Foxtel and get Binge.
Yeah.
She watches Grand Designs Australia. You've now got to get Lifestyle, so she can keep watching it.
Yeah, right.
So they've basically put the price of Binge up. It's an overstatement, in a way. But if you're a Grand Designs and Selling Houses Australia fan, the price of Binge has just gone up by $8 because of Lifestyle.
Right. Because that's what Lifestyle's $8 a month.
Yeah.
And Binge is what, $35 a month.
No. Binge is like $10 or $15.
Is it?
$15. Okay. Yeah. KO's 35.
That's right. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Okay. KO. That's gone up, hasn't it? That's gone up. Because it's 4K now, eh? 4K. Yeah. That was just over the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Formula 4K. 1 in 4K, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Happy?
It's pretty good.
Do you like 4K? Watching in 4K or not?
Don't care.
Whenever I watch, I'm on Foxtel, I watch a league game and it says, do you want to watch it in 4K? I'll go, hell yeah. It takes me to the 4K.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well done, Stephen.
Yeah.
All right, two blokes talking tech. Initial thoughts.
Yes.
And a lot of it is ranty.
Very initial.
There's a lot to unpack. Yeah. There are a lot of positives in the box.
Oh, yeah. No, and
don't get me wrong.
It's slick. I like the whole interface. It's really cool. I like the remote's really cool as well.
Yeah. Voice
great
control.
Great voice control. The box itself, the little Hubble, is tiny. Mm. You can hide that anywhere.
Yeah.
We've just received Hubble Glass TV, so that's a separate conversation, I reckon.
Yeah.
Initially, I'm impressed with that whole setup and the ambition of it. It impresses me. The whole thing where it's not about going in and out of apps. It's about the content in that you already see within those apps.
So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Two Blokes Talking Tech. I'm going to talk Netgear while you fix your Elfies.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Ah, he copped so much flack from someone about it. I thought I better point it out.
Is it good now?
Wonderful, mate. If you're travelling and you need connectivity, the Netgear Nighthawk M6 Pro is unbelievable. Now, this is a device that gives you 5G on the go with Wi-Fi 6E connectivity at home or on the go. Unlocked and certified to work with Telstra, Optus, Vodafone. Works in 125 countries worldwide on international carriers and roaming. You can swap SIM cards and data plans in seconds. Take the M6 Pro on the go for a more powerful and secure alternative to just mobile phone hotspotting it. It's a simple and easy to use thing. Multiple devices can be connected to that Wi-Fi at any one time. 32 devices simultaneously, 13-hour battery life, and easy to use with a nice little touchscreen on the front. So if you're looking for Wi-Fi on the go with 5G connectivity, check out the Netgear Nighthawk M6 Pro 5G Wi-Fi mobile hotspot.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, while you were sleeping, Facebook was down and Apple announced new laptops. Woo, yay.
Wasn't it the day before?
Was it today? Was it yesterday?
It was
You're
Tuesday.
Right.
It was Tuesday.
Sorry,
early
it was
Tuesday.
It was a bloody early morning thing.
Probably, it's probably what crashed Meta.
Could be.
Yeah. The news was massive. Yeah. It crashed Meta, I reckon.
Could be the reason.
Yeah. I was on a plane coming home when I saw this email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you? Were you flying Qantas?
Yeah, United.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, you got
United
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, baby. Mate. United points excursion. It was good.
Points excursion.
Yeah.
it's a simple
More
life.
Discussion about that on the private.
Anyway, Apple unveiled the new 13 and 15-inch MacBook Air with powerful M3 chip. Now,
M3.
Look,
it's faster.
It's the same thing with a faster chip.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening.
No, but
here's the headline.
Yeah,
let's talk AI.
Okay.
Yeah. It says the world's best consumer laptop for AI.
Yeah.
With the transition to Apple Silicon, every Mac is a great platform for AI, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Did you write that in your review? I
pointed it out because
I put it ahead of mine.
I made a point of mentioning this because I'm reading the email. I'm reading the press release.
Yeah, I know. But how did you report that, though?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the first time we've seen Apple talk AI.
Apple says the transition to its own silicon across its lineup makes the Mac an excellent platform for AI.
Okay.
And I think the...
Why are you quoting from yourself when you're sitting right here and you can just talk?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just reading what I wrote. But the...
Do you want to know what I wrote? Fascinatingly, Apple is highlighting its performance as it relates to artificial intelligence for the first time I can recall, saying in the release, Apple MacBook Air continues to be the world's best computer.
So I think, though, Apple, their approach is that AI to them is machine learning.
Right.
And they're saying, we've had machine learning ML. For years.
Yeah.
So that's AI. That's their response.
Yeah.
And because M3 has just like...
Next
machine
level.
Learning up the wazoo, right? Yep. Massive machine learning.
How big is the wazoo?
Neural engine, right? They're thinking, well, of course it's the best AI computer. That's their approach. But I'm still thinking they need to bring AI into the foreground. They need to make it more visible to the customer. Yeah, it's got machine learning. It does all the little things in the background. Yeah. But when they're faced with Samsung, Galaxy AI, Microsoft, Copilot AI, Google,
we've said
Gemini,
continuously,
everything.
They need to announce Siri AI.
Yeah.
If they don't announce Siri AI, they're lost.
Yeah.
Now, I think your point is right. Yeah. The machine learning that exists on their devices generally is unbelievable. Like, think about the iPhone, right? And the ability for you to use...
Face ID is AI.
Not really.
Well, it's using the neural engine, the machine learning.
Yeah, but it's not artificial intelligence.
But no, if you
it's
change your matching. Appearance, though, say you've got glasses on and a mask on. And
so I give the example of the photo library.
Yeah.
You can type red bus and it's, mate, it's using some form of AI to go, we're going to look for red buses in
whatever
all these photos,
whatever
right?
I want to show people my Dalmatians, I just type in dog.
Yeah.
And it goes, there's all pictures of them.
But I do have this concern about the use of the term AI generally, and I have for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think the best example is televisions. We over the years, both LG and Samsung have said, you know, with AI
processes,
they sometimes say design with AI, sometimes they say AI process. And now the best example of that is upscaling, AI upscaling.
Yeah.
Right. You put a standard definition picture of a cat running along a field on a screen, and their television can go, we think it's a cat on a field. We're going to make it bigger. We're going to define the edges of the cat.
Yeah.
That it's not AI that's doing that. Yeah. It's the programmed data that sits in the TV that was probably programmed by AI.
Yeah.
So it is AI.
But isn't an AI processed. Recognizing that it's a cat?
No, it's a computer going, yeah, it's right. a cat.
Okay. It's a cat.
AI, okay. I think, and look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is AI. But we have to acknowledge that AI today is what ChatGPT and Copilot does, which is write this for me. Help me do this. And
summarize this for me.
It's like you asked artificial intelligence, right? It should be a replicated intelligence. So it's like me saying, if I say to you, can you tell me the top three movies of 2003 and why, what their genres were and why they rated so well, you'll tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And I could ask ChatGPT the same thing.
Yeah.
It will find the data. It will research and analyze, and it will give me an output. Yeah.
So it's rather not just a straight Google search. There's more to it than that.
There has to be some analysis involved.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
Which, like you said to me in a conversation you've had with people, and this is my number one need, because I've got all this Google, I'm subscribed to all this Google AI stuff, but it doesn't help me in my email box.
No.
It helps me write an email. I don't need help writing emails. No. I'm very good at it.
Yeah.
I'm very good at writing emails.
Manage my emails.
I need to go, can you do this for me? Find me the three most important emails I should address this morning.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want.
Well, that's what Windows can do now with Copilot. It can do that.
Oh, mate.
Copilot and Outlook.
Yeah. I've tried it. Doesn't work that great.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But it's early days.
I think it's early days. Yeah. Gmail has the potential to do it really well.
Like, if you want AI on a Mac, you can actually use Copilot on Microsoft 365. Which has got Copilot, but it's cloud. It's cloud based.
Yeah, I'm okay with cloud based.
It's not because it's not on a PC.
I'm okay with cloud based, but maybe that's Apple's problem.
But no,
they love their privacy and they're trying to do things on device.
It's going out to the cloud, so your data is going out to the cloud. So I know Apple very much likes an on-device sort of closed shop. Your privacy,
and we have to acknowledge it's unbelievable what their devices, phones, and laptops do on device.
Well, the M3 is, they're saying it's like got potential to, you know, for video editing and 3D modeling, and that's the M3 chip we already saw on the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Interestingly, too, the M3 MacBook Air can support two 4K monitors.
Yeah.
But the MacBook Pro can't. So,
but one of them, it has to be closed. Though you have to have the laptop shut.
Yeah, well, I think you count the screen on the MacBook as well, I guess. But the M3 MacBook Air, two external.
Yeah, displays. Two external, but you need to shut the laptop.
Yes. Well, that's what you want. Clamshell mode, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know how. I've never felt comfortable doing that because I feel like I'm turning it off.
No.
Look, it's $1,799, $500 more than the M2 that stays on sale. But can we take a moment? Can we pause for a moment?
Why?
A minute silence for the Manila folder wedge-shaped MacBook Air.
Oh, that's gone.
It's gone. There's no M1. It's been discontinued. So the wedge...
Valet. How do you say it? Valet. Valet.
The wedge... M1. This sounds really stupid. The wedge-shaped MacBook Air.
The original one.
Iconic.
Yeah. I was at that launch.
Really?
It was at Macworld. I think it was 2008. And that was the famous Steve Jobs keynote where he took the MacBook Air
out of a manila folder,
out of an inter-office envelope. Yeah. And everyone went, what? What just happened? Because laptops back then were chunky things. Mm. And he took this thing out of an envelope.
Yeah.
It was huge. And I was there. It was good. And that's when there was Macworld, when Apple used to be the guest of Macworld.
Yeah.
Now Apple do their own thing. Yeah.
Of course.
I think 2008 was the very last one. Then from then on, they did their own stuff. It was the last Macworld in 2008.
R.I.P. Macworld.
Yeah. It used to be every January. So when I was working at the telly, it'd be CES, Macworld.
All right.
And the reason I missed the bloody iPhone launch.
Because it was on during CES?
Same time, and I'd already agreed to go to CES. So I thought, I can't. I'm here.
He's told that story 1,600 times because you can tell how much it irks him.
Should have been there, mate. I was in the US when that happened, though. I was close. Internet communicator. Music player, iPod. Yeah, are you getting it? Yeah. Famous, mate. That's going to go down in history.
Absolutely.
That day. It's history. And the reaction, I remember covering it for News Limited.
You know what
we
should do?
To that
we should
massive.
Do a Gogglebox viewing. We should watch it back.
Yeah. That'd be good video.
And Gogglebox.
That'd be good video. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Trevor gets some good ideas sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Anyway, the M3, when do they go on sale?
Friday this week.
Yeah. Very good.
Today, tomorrow, whatever this goes to air.
Tomorrow, definitely
March
tomorrow.
March the 8th is the date, which
good
is this week.
It's definitely this week. Yeah. All right, that's Apple's new MacBooks. Good luck with those.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Thank you, Stephen. Great to have your company. 6:23 in the can. Thanks to Netgear and Arlo. I don't think it was our best, I'll be honest.
You don't?
No.
I think it was in the top 20, I reckon.
Top 20?
Yeah.
Honestly, there's 600 worse than that.
Good discussion. Good discussion.
Can you please...
good analysis.
Send us your ratings. Get on Threads and send us your ratings.
So you got to listen to all 620 of the episodes and rank them in order?
Everyone has a rating.
Right? Is that right?
You've already done that. No, I just want to know, was this a top 20 show?
I think it was.
Hashtag...
Well, put this way, what I contributed, I reckon, was top 20. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's probably the issue.
Trevor's a bit of a drag on the ticket.
I'm going to say top 100 at best. It's top 500.
Top 500.
Actually, to be honest, if you discount like the early shows and then the Skype shows, you're probably discounting a couple of hundred shows that were just...
They were good. They're only short too, like 28 minutes.
Pretty handy device.
I'm going to change that. Yeah, we've got to change that. Some shows were like really short, like 30 minutes, 28 minutes.
Now listen to us, Jim.
What are we now? It's just an hour. It's just added value, I guess, but you know.
Trick, do you reckon we should go back to 30 minutes?
No. Do you reckon? No. We offer value here. Value is what it's all about, at no extra charge. A bit like the NBN.
What if we did two?
What?
Two 30-minuters a week. Put one of them out on Sunday. So the first
too
one,
much work, mate.
Here's the idea. Here's
too
the
much
idea.
Work.
Here's
what? The idea. We've already got enough days we release podcasts. What are you doing? Oh, you want to fill in the gap? You're an idiot.
So on Thursday night, you get a 30-minute show, which is the tech news of the week. Boom. Right? Because you're going to cut back on your
what?
Tech guide, buddy.
Excuse me?
Double up, so we're going to have actual news to do.
We do anyway,
so
mate.
Thursday, boom, 30 minutes of hardcore tech news. Sunday, 30 minutes of hardcore tech discussion. So the discussion
mate,
stuff...
It's the same. It's one and the same, mate. The product is good. Don't wreck the product. It's okay how it is. So anyway, if I get a vote in this, I vote against that, okay? I don't know what you're going to vote.
I'll check the bylaws.
Yeah. I think I've
but
got
I'm pretty
50,
sure I've
I think
got
I've
the
got 51%
vote.
Ownership.
51?
Of the podcast.
I think you're 49. I'm 49.
Yeah.
And I think
one is for
Joe
the members.
Joe and Amanda one each. And
yeah, one for the members.
They'll just conspire to, you know, work
we'll
against one
the board.
Of us.
Consult the board. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a gibberer.
See you,
when
mate.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Welcome your feedback, though.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.